You're listening to the audio podcast of the weekly message preached at Central United Methodist Church in Arlington, Virginia. You're invited to worship with us in person on Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. or virtually through Zoom or Facebook on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Visit us at www.cumcballston.org. There you can learn more about our congregation and how we worship God, serve others, and embrace all.
God of all good gifts, you have provided all that we need for abundant lives. As we bring these gifts to you this day, we celebrate the joy in caring for others through generous giving. We pray this in the name of Christ, who gave all out of love for all your children. Amen. And that brings us back to today, to Christ the King Sunday. On this final week of the church year, we celebrate the King who rules not with the violence and power of earthly rulers, but with mercy and love, forgiveness and grace. We gather today to celebrate the reign of Christ, his victory over death, and to await the fullness of all things yet to come. Acknowledging Christ as our merciful ruler, we are sent out into the world so that his reign may be known in our loving words and deeds. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He reigns over us and all our world with justice, mercy, and peace. As we celebrate this reign today, let us hear a scripture lesson that reminds us that Christ is the King of Kings. Revelation 1, verse 4 through 8. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace and peace to you from one who is and was and is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To the one who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, who made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and always. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, including those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. This is so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, said the Lord God, the one who is and was and is coming, the Almighty. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
So Jesus says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. For those of us in English, we miss the fact that he is saying, I am A to Z. I am everything in between. Today, we have been through the cycle of the church year. Now, for those who are only listening to the recording of the sermon, what you've missed is you have missed the scriptures and the hymns that began in the season of Advent and took us through the church year, including Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, and Ordinary Time. I'm very grateful to Tricia and Pat and Dainty, who read the many scriptures in today's service, and for Lane and Sharon for leading us in the hymns of praise in each season. Now, as a pastor, I pay attention to the rhythm of the church year, but I'm also used to thinking and praying about those seasons long before they begin. I have a few friends who already have the details of their Lenten worship series lined out so that their musicians can prepare music and their worship team can prepare visuals that will enhance the theme of worship each week. Normally, I love to plan the details that far in advance, but this has been such an unusual season in our church's life because we are preparing to move home again to our new building. and we won't know until 30 days before we can move if we'll be worshiping on a Saturday in this borrowed space or if we'll be back on Sunday morning in our church home. And so it's made for an unusual planning season for us. It's also been strange these last 3 years as we have worshiped on Saturday mornings. For a long time, my life was oriented around planning for Sunday. Even before I was a pastor, I was active as a layperson, and so the rhythm of my life found an anchor with Sunday as the day of worship, and the rest of my life fit into that rhythm. So for the last 3 years, with us being gathering on Saturday, I've completely lost my ability to know what day of the week it is. It was already a little rough because with COVID, when we went virtual, I really didn't know what day it was because I was at home working on worship videos Monday through Friday. And by the time we got to the weekend, most of the worship videos were finished. And so on Sunday, as I gathered for virtual worship, everything was already done. I completely lost the rhythm that anchored my life. And so I am looking forward to returning to our normal rhythm of worship on Sundays so that we can again remember that God is such a part of the rhythm of our life that it is part of what helps us keep track of the days. That's why I was excited about this service, to remind us of the rhythm of the season of the year. More than just worship on Sundays, the church offers us a rhythm of life of ups and downs, of time of preparation, of time of celebration, time of penitence, and then a time of renewal and new life. There are certain sacred cycles in our life with God. We have them coming up with our time of preparation for Advent and then the season of celebration of Christmas. Christmas is more than just one day on December 25th. It is a season of 12 whole days of celebration. We have these cycles that repeat the preparation that we have in Lent into the celebration of Easter. We have these other cycles of growth in ordinary time. And then we have a couple of high holy days that we observe throughout the year. We observe All Saints and All Souls Day, the beginning of November, to remember those saints of God who have gone forth into the great cloud of witnesses. And then today, Christ the King Sunday. It's also called Reign of Christ Sunday, a celebration of the sovereignty of God who extends not only over earthly life, but extends into life beyond this world. We celebrate that Christ is the King of all kings, and we know that it is not limited to this realm. Christ is King of heaven and earth. And when we end our life on this earth, our ending here is a beginning of new life with Christ forever. In my time working as a pastor, as a hospice chaplain, and even as a family member, I've been honored to be with people nearing the end of their earthly life. And as death approaches, I have observed the courage and the peace that some folks embrace in that season of transition from life in this world to life eternal in the next. Those are the folks who know that in our end is our beginning. During World War II in Britain, for many, it felt like the world was coming to an end. And there was a poet, T.S. Eliot, who wrote these words in a poem. In my beginning is my end. In succession, houses rise and fall, crumble, are extended, are removed, destroyed, restored, or in their place is an open field, a factory, or a bypass. Old stone to new building, old timber to new fires, old fires to ashes and ashes to earth, houses live and die, for there is a time of building and a time for living. A time for the wind to break the loosed pane and to shake the wainscot where the field mouse trots. In my beginning is my end. In this poem, T.S. Eliot, the poet, is anticipating his death, and then he sees beyond it. He continues later on in a further stanza by saying, "I said to my soul, be still, and let the dark come upon you. This shall be the darkness of God. As in a theater, the lights are extinguished for the scene to be changed." What a beautiful image to think of death as a moment in a theater when the lights come down so the scenes can be changed. When the theater of our own life goes dark, then the set can simply be changed. We end our life in this world and begin our beginning of our next life in the new world. The Apostle Paul said something similar in Corinthians. He says, "I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, we will be changed." Paul is reminding us again that in our end is our beginning. In today's worship service, we heard the beginning of Jesus' life with his birth, then the stories of his teachings with his life, the story of Holy Week and his death, and then the resurrection. When we tell our story of faith, it is not complete without all of those experiences. The death of Jesus led to resurrection and new life, including the birth of the church at Pentecost. The story of God's love for the world reminds us of the power of love to outlast everything. Love gives rise to hope and gives rise to the church, to the beloved community to which we are all a part. Our faith invites us to accept all of the endings in our lives, whether it is death or other transition, trusting that in every ending, it leads to a new beginning. From the crucifixion at Calvary, we make our way every year, retracing the steps of that Via Dolorosa. We then make our way to the empty tomb. We have to travel these paths again to remember in our own lives when there is an ending, there is a resurrection. The reign of God gives us this hope and a promise. In the same way that we have had to tear down our over 100-year-old church building in order to create a space for us to worship God, to serve others, and embrace all, we have had to say goodbye. Goodbye to the familiar and beloved space. Goodbye to some of the traditions that we had in that place. But it gives birth to something new. We will have the opportunity to help to transform the lives of at least 144 families who will move into those apartments in the building above us. And over the next 30 years, who knows how many thousands of people will find transformed lives because of the opportunity to live in that affordable housing, and also for those who connect with us in worship and serving others. So at Central, even in our end, is our new beginning. Today on Christ the King Sunday, we celebrate this cycle of the year, but also the cycle of our lives. We start something new when something ends. When we begin our new life together in the spring, it will likely be in the season of Lent. And there likely will be a little bit of a bittersweet moment. The extreme joy of gathering again in that place on Fairfax Drive. But the bittersweet moment when we look around and we see the faces of those who have gone on to glory, who are not worshiping with us in person. The bittersweet moment when we see the way that the space is similar with our beautiful stained glass windows placed again, but also very different in that it is oriented in a different way and the space will feel different. We will celebrate that it is space designed for future disciples to come, to learn how much God loves them, to learn about God's promises for them, and to celebrate that Jesus is Lord. But we will also have a moment where we grieve what we've lost and said goodbye to. And I hope in those moments that each of us will remember that in our end is our beginning, in every death is resurrection. And that is the promise that we have in the cycle of the year that we live together as a church with God, that in every ending is a new beginning, in every death is a new resurrection, because God is always faithful to bring out new life. As a church, we will worship in that space for what I hope will be many, many generations. And maybe in 100 years from now, they will need to tear down that 8-story building and to reimagine it to fit the needs of the people in 100 years. But they will continue to read the same ancient scriptures. And they may sing new songs with new lyrics and different instruments, but they will sing again about the cycle of God's continued faithfulness to us, in that every ending, there is a beginning, because God is always faithful to bring new life to us. Thanks be to God. Amen.